Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome back to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. We're so blessed that you're joining us today. And today is part two of our two-part interview with Marilyn Vansell talking about the Enneagram from a biblical perspective. For those of you who are not familiar with what an Enneagram is, I recommend you go back and listen to part one because we discussed that part in thorough depth. Yesterday, and we don't have time to go back and recover and cover everything again today. But Marilyn Vansell is an expert on the Enneagram and in relating it to building your faith and the transformation from glory to glory, using that power that is within us. And she has been explaining this, and we're going to jump right back into this interview right now with Marilyn Vansell. If you're approaching a group or ministry about providing this type of training, what is your response to Christians, especially other pastors and ministry leaders, that you know say, "Well, this is New Age"? I mean, how do you respond to those accusations?
Well, I again say it's a tool. Mm-hmm. Just like you know, we have tools, we have helps, resources along our journey that we utilize. And it can be used, and you know, New Age is kind of a broad term as well. You know, right. Is that spirituality? What's the fear? What is the fear about that? And that there's I just say, here, read my book, and then you'll see where I'm coming from with this. And understand that I'm approaching it, I'm offering it in the context of how is this helpful in your walk with Jesus, in your call to follow Jesus and to be set free and to live in the freedom that Jesus offers and promises and leads us to. And how can this awareness open up that possibility of freedom and living that way and being more loving too, because we can't love, you know, the great commandment is to love the Lord and love your neighbor as yourself. And the Enneagram, at least the way I present it, identifies the ways that we're defended and restricted, and that our, you know, it's kind of the law we've created for ourselves and how we think we have to be okay. And that from that defended, closed place, it's not as easy to love fully and freely. And we can't really love from a defended place the way God calls us to love. So to put down our defenses and to live in faith and trust in God, then we can love, we can follow, we can live out that commandment in a more free and full way.
Amen. Now, you talk about the necessity of a deep inner work that must accompany self-awareness. What do you mean by that?
When you, it's self-awareness on its own, for its own, you know, on its own doesn't really help you unless you are bringing Jesus into that and having just taking the time. I tell people you it's hard to move along in the spiritual journey without pausing, without stopping and noticing what is going on in you. And you can be aware of that, but and then you need to do the inner work. Like, what is below the surface on that? What lie is that attached to? What memory? Maybe there's some memories from your upbringing that have solidified this neural pathway. You know, it's so fascinating right now. All this scientific work on neuroplasticity that our brains can be rewired, and we can think a different way. We can go down a different path. But we've forged a path that has been there for a long time, and we, you know, like ways of thinking or feeling or you know, believing, and it's like a path through a forest, and we just walk down it automatically. Our brains do, and our emotions do, our psych does. Mm-hmm. And we can rewire that by reforming that and creating a new pathway, which takes some work. You know, you got to clear the brush, you got to clear the path, you have to, you know, cut down, prune some trees to get through there. And it's fascinating to me that this is all coming out in the science community. And I think, well, this sounds like be renewed. You know, the renewal of your mind is part of our journey as believers in Jesus. And so this is a helpful way of, you know, until you pay attention to the path you're going down, you can't. And that's that inner work of bringing it up, bringing it to your conscious level, and recognizing it and allowing Jesus to reframe that, to transform it, to change the pathway, change the way we think and believe, to follow him.
Amen. Now, the Bible says that, you know, when we're born again, we are new creatures, created mm-hmm. in the image of Christ, who's in the image mm-hmm. of God, obviously. So, therefore, when we are born again, we are in the image of God. How does the Enneagram match up with the biblical view of old self versus new self?
Well, the way I use it is that it's just a way of giving some more definition to that old self. And yes, we are new creatures. We are new creations. We are, you know, and that was our starting point. It really takes us back to Genesis 1, that we were created in God's image. That was our starting point. And then sin came in, and then we're returned to that as we are transformed and born again and created, it taking us back to our original design, I believe. And so the Enneagram helps identify those, you know, I mean, it's a, yes, we are new creations, but it's a already but not yet, because we also have all these trappings, all this kind of like Paul in Romans 7. I do what I don't want to do. And I, you know, we're caught in this, like, why do I keep doing this? And I don't want to do it, but I do. And thanks be to God, we're rescued by Jesus. And then the next phrase in 8 is there's no condemnation. Mm-hmm. And we condemn ourselves all the time. It's not God who's condemning us, we're condemning ourselves. So what is it? And to be able to identify with more clarity, more precision, what is our underlying condemnation? What is our underlying pattern of habitual thinking? What's the underlying path we keep walking down based on our upbringing, our perceptions, all that we've brought along with us? And so the transformational process from glory to glory is recognizing those and letting those go and letting God transform them. So it's a process. It's not a destination. I don't think we can just say, oh, I'm a new creation, and there I've arrived. But it's a process. It's not a destination. So
how has the Enneagram helped you personally?
Wow. Well, like I said, 30 years ago when I listened to those old cassette tapes, it was like a light bulb went on when it was Father Richard Rohr who was giving those at that time. He was and I didn't even know who that was back then. He came to the type that identified me, and it was, I started crying. Like, I felt so known. Like, that is my inner experience. Yes, that is what I do. That is what I believe. That's why I do that. It was so enlightening. It was so helpful. It just released me to have the freedom to look at that and to recognize, that explains me. And then that was a journey. At first, it was a great comfort. Like, it was such a relief. Like, I am actually, other people are like this. It's not just me stuck here being this awful person, but that, that's understandable. And then, And then it shifted over time to, oh, ugh, that is my sin nature. That is, those are the lies I do believe. This is, I am stuck here. So I could invite God into that. And it, so it's been a long journey. It's been 30 years of just using it and self-awareness. And recognizing, and it still is like my Achilles heel, you know, I can find myself. So my particular type, I tend to put my, focus my attention on the expectation and agendas of others mm-hmm. and that are either spoken or I pick them up and I think I have to live up to them. And so I get, I'm just stuck with what are they expecting? What is their agenda? And So part of the journey, a big piece of this is learning where your focus of attention is and recognizing we have agency. We have the ability to shift our focus of attention. So for me, like I get very hung up when I'm going to present a workshop and say 100 people are there. I'm thinking, all these 100 people, why did they come? What are they expecting? Am I going to deliver? Yeah. So I can be very hung up on that and putting all my energy into trying to figure that out, which is impossible. And then I have to shift my focus of attention to, God, what do you want me to say? God, what is your purpose for this time? How can I be a messenger for you? What and be more clear and listening to the Spirit? And then I don't have to be so driven by meeting the expectations of others. So it's just a way it helps me shift my focus of attention away from that pattern to God's way.
Okay. Now, in your workshops, you only have a limited amount of time with the folks in attendance.
Right.
How do you move the people along your intended path of discovery in a short period of time?
Well, it's a challenge sometimes, especially if it's a short period of time. And it depends on how much time I've been given. Mm-hmm. If it's a four-hour workshop and it's an introductory, I just, you know, go through the context that I'm seeing this in, using this in, which is the context in the scriptures that I see. Mm-hmm. And then I go through the nine types fairly quickly. And then I create some reflective time for them to process what they've heard and to listen to God. I do in the back, in the end of my book, have a reflective process I called Own Up. And I help walk people through that as, how do you use this in your everyday life? And so I give them a process, and I can explain that too, just own up, you know, own up to your old self, own up to your true self. Mm-hmm. And so, and then if it's a longer day, I just, you know, I give more information because it's a complex system, even though it's simple, but we're complex beings too. So to try to, you know, narrow down what to say is a challenge because there's so much I could say. So I hope that it starts people on a journey.
Amen. Well, let me ask you about your book. Why did you write the book, and who's the intended audience of the book?
Okay, good question. Well, it's Self to Lose, Self to Find is the title, and then the subtitle, A Biblical Approach to the Nine Enneagram Types. And so it came out of, like I've said earlier, my own journey of recognizing, and I woke up one morning, and honestly, I never thought I would write a book. So it hasn't been something on my bucket list that I've always thought I'd write a book. So this was as big a surprise to me as to anyone else that I actually did it. But it was on my own spiritual journey of trying to at this stage of my life. And how do I follow Jesus in this season? And there were some struggles I was having, and I talk about that in the book of who is God with me and how where is he? Out there, in here? You know, who is God? What do I really believe? Sort of a re-examining of the scriptures and my own journey. And I woke up one morning realizing, oh, there's a self to lose. Jesus talks about that, but that means there's a self to find. And I knew that was the title of the book I was supposed to write. So that began the journey of the process of actually doing it, which was different than actually, you know, realizing I had a title, but to actually sit down and do it was a big step. And I wrote it for the, I tried to keep it, and the word I hear a lot when people read my book is it's very accessible. I wanted to make the Enneagram, this complicated system that's been helpful to me, accessible, simple, in a biblical context, just as a useful tool, but revealing, you know, revealing, transformative, helpful tool along the way, and giving people also, that's why I wrote the application piece of it in the Own Up section, so that it could you could put it to work in your everyday life and not just have it be a theory. And the audience was followers of Jesus, and I don't apologize for that. Some people have written books on the Enneagram, and they water down the Jesus part. And I was unapologetic. And some people, you know, that love the Enneagram, they're going to look at that and say, "Well, I don't care about the biblical approach." But that I just, I'm out there and out front about that is how I use it, and what and the audience that I wanted to touch was the people who want to follow Jesus.
Amen. Well, can someone just read your book and get this type of transformation, or do they need to go through the coaching or a seminar or workshop as well?
Oh, well, you can read my book, and, you know, the Holy Spirit can use that, and it's a journey. You know, it's not going to be the, if my book isn't the be-all, the end-all, and I think it is a level of how attentive people are to their own selves. And we need help with that. That's why I do spiritual direction. And I'm in spiritual direction too. I have a spiritual director myself, is we need companions along the way to show us our blind spots, or to at least ask questions about, you know, things that where we're stuck, and have somebody journey with us. You know, there's lots of trainings. There's lots of information out there. So it kind of depends on a level, you know, of a person's own level of self-awareness and how familiar they are with that or comfortable they are with that. And it's, you know, it's God's the transforming one. But we need to be willing partners.
So you've brought the person down the path of their self-discovery with the Enneagram, and at the same time, you've woven your faith into how to use this to grow the faith, right? So how does that grow the faith by having them be more self-aware, I guess you could say? Instead of, you know, focusing on Jesus like you're taught in church, oh, just, you know, focus on the Bible, focus on the Word. How does becoming more self-aware help you focus on Jesus?
Well, you see where you need Him to touch you in a personal, specific way, and we can just do all the right things or all the Christian things. And not really do the inner work. And I see a lot of people that do that, and they don't even know that they're habitually stuck in certain patterns. So it really is coming to a deeper faith in the work of God within us, but giving some definition, some help for us as human beings. God knows us. But for us to be able to say, oh, like me, I am focusing all my attention right now on other people's expectations. Oh, God, you know, it's a way of identifying that so I can shift and God can, you know, I can shift my attention, or I recognize, you know, for each of us, it's just helping us know ourselves and how we're stuck so that we can be more available and more open and more really confessing. It's a way of confession, really. It's conviction. And that was my husband's experience when he listened to those tapes. He, when he heard the description of his, the type that nailed him, you know, like, oh, that is me. he saw, oh, God, help me, because I am a sinner. I do that. I do that. And he could see that it was a tool of confession. Yeah. And I see it as a tool, place of confession, and it gives you some specifics to confess in. Instead of, oh, Lord, forgive me, like, you can see what's operating, have a little more clarity.
I know you advocate that this is a lifetime journey. How long does it usually take before you see one of those holy aha moments that you talk about?
Wow. Well, I hope it's pretty right away. You know? When people read my book or listen to me or, you know, and I see that people just, it's like, bam, you know, there it is. Oh, gosh, I get it. So I think it depends on people's openness. Not everybody's open. You got to be pretty open and available and pausing and letting Dan to pause. The thing is, it's happening right now that I'm cautious about or concerned about, is a better word, is all the information. People are just gobbling up Enneagram information, another podcast, another book, another, like they're trying to find in this information the golden key that will unlock them and be solved and be the solution. Mm-hmm. Instead of, no, this is not a solution. In fact, I'm wondering if that's my next book. The Enneagram is not a solution. It's not going to resolve anything. It opens up an awareness, but it's a journey. Yeah. And it's not a solution. And I heard once, there's a Harvard Business School study about, it was written in the article I read was by an executive coach that's helped with leaders, and she said the hardest ones to work with are the ones who are not self-reflective. They have no idea what's going on for them or why they're doing what they're doing or how they're hurting people or how their leadership is ineffective. They just don't take the time. And I thought, well, there you have it. You know, if we don't take the time, then we just go on autopilot down the same path, and we don't even know what we're doing or how we're affecting other people.
So if someone were to buy your book, what would be the next step after that, after reading your book?
Next step after that is to contact me if they wish to, you know, there is more to learn. I would say the next step personally is to just start journaling, start paying attention, noticing, taking pause every day. Or I say when you have this own up process, when there's a triggering reaction to something and to observe yourself, that's the beginning, is like observing, oh, why did I just slam the door? Or why do I feel so insecure right now? Or why am I so envious? Or why couldn't I sleep all night? Wondering, you know, seeing the trigger, the turbulence, the spiral that your mind's going down, or your heart is beating fast, or your, you know, stomach hurts, or, you know, you're thinking and you're angry at someone, and to stop and pause and go, wow, I'm doing that. Why am I doing that? What's below the surface? So it's really, I want to encourage people to pause, to notice, to reflect, to take the time to allow the Lord to come into that. But it takes our availability and willingness to do the hard work that it takes. And it's not easy. And it takes time. And so I think the first big step is just to observe your life and see how the lies you're believing, the compulsions you're living in, the patterns that you're in, how is it affecting you? And how is it creating problems with yourself and with God and with others?
Amen.
And to interrupt those patterns, it's an interruption. You know, we want to interrupt those automatic patterns so that God could come in and redirect it.
Amen. And tell us again how someone can get a copy of your book.
Well, it's called Self to Lose, Self Find. It's available on all the, you know, any bookstore distribution sites. and or they can contact me, order through my website. And the but this is in the U.S. only do I send them out, because I can't afford the postage to international countries. Yeah. But they can get people around the world and get them other ways. But just my website is marilynvansel.com.
Amen.
And you can order it that way. And I have, the next step you talked about, mm-hmm. I do have a reflection guide for my book, and I called it a reflection guide, not a study guide. Mm-hmm. And that's available to download from my website, too, the next step. If you, talked about a next step, it's a way of going through the book and reflecting. And I have questions for just to get time to reflect mm-hmm. on what are you really experiencing? What are you really feeling and knowing? So,
Marilyn, you've given us a lot to think about here, and I'd love to have you back on again. Maybe we can go over this a little bit more in depth. Maybe you can take us on the first couple steps and how all that will play out. Does that sound good?
Yeah, that sounds great.
Okay, amen. Now, if someone wanted to reach out to you to ask a question, have you come and speak, or maybe do an interview like this, how can they do that? Mm-hmm. How can they get in touch with you?
Just through my website, marilynvansel.com. All right. And it'll give a contact there. Let's Connect is the tab, and they can connect there. And I'd love to hear from them.
Amen. Well, thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to visit with us today. I mean, you've definitely given us a lot of information to think about, and I do appreciate you coming on the show.
Okay. Well, thanks for having me.
Amen.
I appreciate it. It's great.
I highly encourage you to go to the link in the show notes, get a copy of Marilyn's book, Self to Lose, Self to Find, A Biblical Approach to the 9 Enneagram Types. Check it out for yourself. See if this will help you in your spiritual development. See if this will help you on your journey of transformation from glory to glory. See if it will help you in your relationships or your business, just your life. I mean, just click the link in the show notes, order your copy today. And that is all the time we have for today. For Marilyn Vansel and myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.